I'd like to welcome you all here. I'd also like to welcome Brother Mike Bannock from Chicago, and also all those who may be listening on the internet and at some point listening via MP3. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to see all those here. This Sabbath, I'd like to review a topic we're all familiar with. This will be a review for most of us. But, you know, sometimes it's good to review Yahweh's truth to understand it. Perhaps we're going to hear something we haven't heard before, haven't thought about before. And certainly this is new, good and beneficial for new people, those who are possibly just now coming to Almighty Yahweh's truth. Today I want to look at the New Testament, and specifically the Sabbath. We were talking about this, ironically, in the Bible study shortly. And how many people today reject the Sabbath, the sign, which we're going to discuss, that Yahweh gave to his people for a counterfeit entrenched in 2,000 years of tradition. So again, as Yahweh's people, it's good for us to review this, and also for those who may be new, so some of those who may be coming to the faith for the first time, they may understand the Sabbath and the New Testament, and certainly that Sunday was never introduced, as we find within Yahweh's word. I'd like to begin with Exodus chapter 31, though, before we delve into the New Testament. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. This is one of those pivotal passages we find with the Sabbath. It says there in Exodus 31, 13, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily ye shall keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign," and notice that it is a sign, "between me and you throughout your generations, and you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you." So we find here that the Sabbath is special. It sanctifies Yahweh's people as a sign between us and Almighty Yahweh. Now, what is this sign? What is this sign? Or this word sign comes from the Hebrew word oath and means a signal, as a flag, a beacon, a monument, or evidence. So what is that? I believe it's a type of identification. It identifies us as Yahweh's people. It's like a beacon. You know, go back in the first century and they would see the new moon. They would light fires on top of the hilltops. And they would communicate this way. Well, the same thing is true with the Sabbath. It communicates that we are Yahweh's called out people. It's a special sign. Now, one thing that's fascinating about this commandment is that this is the only commandment, this is the only law called a sign. No other command. No other command within Yahweh's word is called a sign. And I believe that's unique. It's special. It shows that the Sabbath is special because it is the only sign that Yahweh describes within his word. So it's unique. It's special for you and I. Now, for 2,000 years, this sign has been replaced with a counterfeit. We're all familiar with it. Many people call it Sunday, or many, the Lord's Day, which we're going to look at later. One thing I want to do today is not only look at the evidence of what we find in the New Testament, but also look at some of the passages that are used often to try to prove Sunday worship. We're going to look at some of those. But this counterfeit has replaced the sign that identifies Yahweh's people. In Exodus 31, it also says here that this sign, and this is important, the Sabbath, sanctifies Yahweh's people. Now, what does it mean to sanctify? What does this mean? Well, in the Hebrew, the word is kadash. It means to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be hallowed. So when we observe the Sabbath, we are sanctified. We are hallowed in what way? We are hallowed as Yahweh's people. We are sanctified. We are set apart as Yahweh's called out people. Again, this is extremely important. Extremely important. If we want salvation, we need to understand this sign. Because again, it identifies us as Yahweh's people. Now, what I want to do for the remainder of this message is to focus on the New Testament. Focus on what Yahshua did. Focus on what Paul did. Focus on some of the common arguments. And also at the end, which you may find this fascinating, I always find historical information fascinating, I want to look at some historical documents, some sources, saying when and how and where the Sabbath was transferred to Sunday. So we're going to look at that today in this message. It's my hope that somebody may hear this message, understand the Sabbath for the first time, come to this truth, and accept Yahweh's sign. So important. You know, if we honestly want to know Yahweh's truth, if we want salvation, we must be willing to have an open mind to search Yahweh's truth out. And you know, this is not only a concept with the Sabbath. This is a concept with all of Yahweh's truth. We must be willing to look at the evidence for what it is and accept it based on Yahweh's truth. It's imperative that we as Yahweh's people, we understand this point. We can't accept something because of belief, because of an opinion, or even because of circumstance. We must accept a truth based on evidence. And if everybody had that opinion, we would see many, many more flocking to this faith. So let's now look at the evidence. What does Yahweh's word say? Well, I'd like to begin with Mark chapter 6, verse 2. This is our Savior, Yahshua. And here we find him doing something very special. It says, "And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, Whence hath this man these things? And what is the wisdom that he has given unto this man? And what mean such mighty works wrought by his hands?" We know that Yahshua was able to do some mighty works. And that is one reason why some people had no excuse. They had no justification for rejecting him. Yahshua said, you know, if these works were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago. But you've seen my works, and you still reject me. But what do we find here with our Savior? We find here an example of him worshiping on what day? The Sabbath. The Sabbath. He's not here worshiping on Sunday or on another day. He's worshiping on the day that Yahweh hallowed, that Yahweh sanctified. Now, that's another important point here to keep in mind. We have evidence, proof, that Yahweh sanctified the Sabbath day. We can go back to Genesis chapter 2 and we can read how Yahweh sanctified this specific day as holy unto him. This is something only Yahweh can do. Only Yahweh can sanctify a day for worship. Surely, you know, we can set apart days of memorial, like Purim and other days. But to make a day holy or hallowed or sanctified, only Almighty Yahweh can do this. So as we find here again, Yahshua keeping the Sabbath. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It's another passage. Yahshua keeping, observing the Sabbath. It says there, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up and entered, as his custom was." Notice that, custom was. "Into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." So here's another example of Yahshua worshiping on the Sabbath, on Yahweh's sign, on the day that he appointed. Now I want you to notice something very special about this passage. It says here that this was Yahshua's custom. This was Yahshua's custom. So this was not just an ordinary day for our Savior. This was his custom, meaning in Hebrew, Greek, that this is his habit, this is his conviction, this is his religious practice. This is what he did. And this is how he worshiped. Custom. Custom. That's extremely important that we understand here that it was Yahshua's custom that he worshiped on the Sabbath. This was not just an ordinary day. You know, we're told to follow in Yahshua's footsteps. We're told to live as he lived. We're told to do as he did. You know, Yahshua never observed Sunday. And we understand this. Again, I know this for most of you as a review. But it's important for those who may hear this message. Yahshua, our Savior, the Messiah, never, never worshipped on Sunday. Now, I would think that this alone would be sufficient for most people to accept Yahweh's truth based on what our Savior did. But that's not the case. That's not the case. Many rather hold to 2,000 years of tradition instead of accepting Yahweh's truth, his sign. One more example here. "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day." Again, this is Yahshua. So we find evidence once more that he was worshiping on the Sabbath in the synagogue. You know, many people, we had an exercise, which we never did finish in the Bible study, but to show the difference between Yahshua and Yahshua, to show the difference between the real Yahshua and the New Testament Yahshua that we find in nominal worship today. And there's many differences. For one, Yahshua worshipped in a synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know, Yahshua was a Jew. He was a Jew who was raised as a Jew. He lived as a Jew. He worshipped as a Jew. He was a Jew in every way. Yahshua's purpose for coming was not to begin a new religion, was not to annul what his father had established in the beginning. Matter of fact, he said he only spoke his father's words, not his own. So it's important that we understand this, that Yahshua, he was raised as a Jew, lived as a Jew, and worshipped as a Jew. The faith that we find in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is Hebraic, not Grecian, not Roman, Hebraic. And this alone should show that many of the common practices that we find in nominal worship is wrong. They're Roman, they're Greek in origin, they're not Hebraic. And Yahshua, he worshipped in his heritage. Now, what about the Apostle Paul? What about him? You know, most people, they look at Paul and they say, this is the man that championed nominal worship. This is the man that championed Christianity. What about the Apostle Paul? Do we have evidence that Paul worshipped on Sunday? Do we have evidence that Paul put in place another day of worship besides the Sabbath, besides what Yahweh established long ago? Do we have evidence of this? What do we find in the New Testament? Acts chapter 13, verse 14. It says, there, but they, and this was a company with Paul, they, passing through from Perga, came to Antioch, to Pisidia, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So what do we find here? We find that Paul was not worshiping on the first day of the week. We find that Paul was worshiping on the Sabbath. Nowhere, again, do we find Paul worshiping on Sunday. Nowhere do we find Yahshua worshiping on Sunday. Nowhere do we find the other apostles worshiping on Sunday. So what we find here is with Paul, he had the same belief as his Savior, and that was to worship on the Sabbath in the synagogue. So from this example again, Paul followed in his Savior's footsteps and worshiped as he did on the Sabbath day. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. It says, and on the Sabbath day we went forth without the gate by a riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down, and spake unto the women that were come together. So here we find Paul going to this riverside to do what? To seek prayer, petition, to worship Almighty Yahweh. When is he doing this? On the Sabbath day. So again, another passage showing when Paul worshiped, how he worshiped. He worshiped on the Sabbath, and again, he was true to his Hebraic roots. He never deviated from those Hebraic roots. And we can find that in other passages. Acts chapter 17, verse 2. Now, this is a fascinating passage. It goes along with what we saw with Yahshua. It says, and Paul, as his custom was, went in unto them, and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Now, I want you to notice two things in this passage. Number one, and this is important. Number one, it was Paul's custom to worship on the Sabbath. His custom, it was his practice, it was his religious habit. It was, again, how he worshiped. This is no different from Yahshua. So just as Yahshua's custom, just as his habit was to worship on the Sabbath, we find that the same was true with with Paul. We find that Paul, too, it was his custom, it was his religious obligation, it was his habit to worship on the Sabbath and not on any other day. Again, I'm not trying to criticize anybody out there that may not understand this truth, but what we find in Scripture is that Paul and Yahshua and the apostles, they all worshiped. They all worshiped on the Sabbath, not on the first day of the week. We simply don't find this within Yahweh's word. The other thing I want to point out here is it says he went in for three Sabbath days, reasoned with him. Now, what does this mean? Three Sabbath days. What is this trying to denote? Well, what this is saying is this. He reasoned with them for three consecutive Sabbaths. So we find that this was not on and off. We find that this was not maybe a hobby that went away. Now, this was, again, his custom. This was what he did. We find here that he worshiped three Sabbath days in a row. Last verse here with the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 18, verse 4. Here you can see a replica of the an old Jewish synagogue. And it says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded Jews and Greeks. Now, why is this important? Why is this important? We find here that not only did he worship on the Sabbath, but that he persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Now, I believe that this is significant. So there's no confusion. What is this Greek word? What does it mean in Greek versus Greeks? Or it's from the Greek, and it means a Grecian or inhabitant of Hellas, by extension a Greek-speaking person, especially a non-Jew. So that's the definition we find in Strong. So this is probably not somebody who is Jewish. This is probably somebody who is Greek, somebody who is not of Hebrew origin. So from indication here, we find that Paul was meeting with both Jews and Greeks on the Sabbath day. Now, why is this significant? I've heard many people argue this point. The only reason Yahshua worshipped on the Sabbath with Jews was to persuade those Jews. Had nothing at all to do with a commandment, had nothing at all to do with an obligation to his Father in heaven. But we find here different. We find here that he wasn't only worshiping to persuade Jews. He was there worshiping and persuading Jews and Greeks. Now you think Paul would just go to the local Greek temple to persuade those Greeks. But that's not what we find here. What we find here is that he worshiped and praised Almighty Yahweh in a Jewish synagogue on the Sabbath for both Jews and Greeks. And again, I believe this is significant. You know, the other thing that's significant here is that this was roughly 20 years after Yahshua's resurrection. You know, if anybody would have understood that the Sabbath was no longer necessary, that the Sabbath was a thing of the past, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But what do we find through these examples? We find that he still obeyed the Sabbath. Even though it's 20 years after Yahshua, 20 years, he was still obeying Almighty Yahweh. You know, this is no different really in some ways in Peter. Remember when Yahshua came to Peter in Acts chapter 10, he says, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. That was 10 years after Yahshua's resurrection. Surely he would have known. Surely he would have known. Or surely Paul would have known here. But no, we find by example, Paul is still worshiping on the Sabbath, and he's still doing so in the synagogue with Jews. And what's important here, and this is a critical passage, he's persuading both Jews and Greeks. I'd like to move on now to the second part of this message, and that is explaining some of the passages that are used to encourage and advocate Sunday worship. First one I'd like to look at is Galatians chapter 4, verse 10. Galatians chapter 4, verse 10, we looked at this here recently when I gave my series on Galatians. I'd like to review it since we're talking about the Sabbath. But most of you remember these people were of Celtic origin. They brought with them their religion of the Druids. And we're going to find that here in just a few minutes. But it says here in verse 10 and 11, you observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid of you, lest by any means I have bestowed labor upon you in vain. Now, what is Paul saying here? What's the message Paul is trying to convey? Is it that he's afraid of them, that he's bestowed his labor because they're now returning to those Old Testament Jewish days that Yahshua set aside through his sacrifice? Is this what Paul's referring to? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But that is what most will tell you. They will read this passage, and most unknowingly will accept this as truth. Well, I can assure you, this has nothing to do with Yahweh's days of worship. This has nothing to do with the Sabbath, the feast days, the new moons, or anything else in association with Yahweh's worship. Let's take a look at the context. You know, context is so important when we look at these passages, when we're confronted with some of these arguments. It says in verse 8, Howbeit, now I want you to listen and pay attention to this. Howbeit, at that time, not knowing Elohim, you were in bondage to them that by nature are no Elohim. But know you have come to know Yahweh, or rather, to be known by Elohim. How turn you back again to the weak and beggarly rudiments whereunto you desire to be in bondage over again? And then verse 10 again says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid of you, thus by any means I have bestowed labor upon you in vain. Or what do we find here in verse 8 and 9? Now pay attention to what we find here. This is key to this passage. Or what we find is Paul is speaking about a time prior to their conversion, prior to the time they knew Yahweh. Again, verse 8, howbeit at that time, not knowing Elohim, you were in bondage to them by nature are no Elohim. They were worshiping false mighty ones. They were worshiping false deities. This has absolutely nothing to do with Yahweh's days of worship. This is false deities. And keep in mind, these are not Jews. These are not Jews. These are ancient Celts that migrated from northern Europe to the modern day area of Turkey. And they brought with them their culture, their religion. And we find that here. And verse 9 again says, but know that you have come to know Elohim, or rather to be known by Elohim. He does the calling, not we. So again, this is speaking about the time prior to their conversion. It says, how turn you back again to the weak and beggarly rudiments whereunto you desire to be in bondage over again? Again, this is speaking about past worship. This is speaking about pagan worship. This has nothing to do with Yahweh's days of worship. This is not referring to Yahweh's Sabbath, his feast days. This is referring to old Celtic days of worship. And we reviewed some of that in the series I did in Galatians, how they based their calendar, interestingly enough, on the vernal equinoxes and the full moon, many of the same devices used by Wicca and nature worship today, many of them base it on nature, and certainly see a lot of that in the religion of the Druids. So again, this passage has absolutely nothing to do with Yahweh's days of worship. What about Romans chapter 14, verse 5? This is another common passage people use. It says in Romans chapter 14, verse 5, one man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each man be fully assured or persuaded in his own mind. Now they will say, look, here Paul is advocating that we can keep any day holy. Matter of fact, he says here that we can keep every day holy. Now, I like to see that. I like to see how you could work and go through the duties, the responsibilities of life, and keep every day holy. But is this the message we find here? Is Paul saying that we can worship on any day? You know, just a few moments ago we were talking about how Yahweh hallowed the Sabbath. I believe that Yahweh is the only one that has the authority to hallow a day as sacred, a day as holy, a day that is consecrated or set apart. We find no example of any other person, not even Yahshua, making a day holy or consecrated. Only Almighty Yahweh has that authority. Only Almighty Yahweh has that authority. So who is Paul here, you know, saying that we can worship on any day? Or he's not. He's not. This is not the intent. This is not the message Paul is trying to convey. What is Paul speaking about here? Well, let's just read on. Verse 6 says, he that regards the day regards it unto Yahweh, and he that eats, eats unto Yahweh. For he gives Elohim thanks, and he that eats not unto Yahweh, he eats not, and gives Elohim thanks. What are we talking about? What are we talking about here? Fasting. People abstaining from food. Paul's saying, don't worry about when your brother may decide to fast. This was a controversy. Which day should we fast on? Paul says it doesn't matter. As long as you are assured in your own mind that what you are doing is to Almighty Yahweh. But again, it doesn't matter what day you fast on. So this has absolutely nothing to do with worship, with the Sabbath, with promoting Sunday, with promoting the, quote, LORD's day. This is absolutely nothing worth worship. It's a day that is set apart for fasting to Almighty Yahweh. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, I had a call this week and spoke to a man about this passage. Not exactly what we're going to discuss here. I think he understood most of it. But many people struggle with this. And many people use this passage to, again, advocate that the Sabbath has been changed to Sunday. They will say here that Paul, he's worshiping. Here's your evidence. He's worshiping on Sunday, the first day of the week. Or let's read this, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "And upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul discoursed with them, intending to depart on the morrow, and prolonged his speech until midnight." So is Paul here worshiping on Sunday, on the first day of the week? They will say, look, it says he's there, he's on the first day of the week, he's breaking bread. It's obvious, he's worshiping. He is now worshiping on Sunday. Here's your evidence. Well, number one, the word day was added. The word day was added here. It simply says first of the week. You know, it's impossible to know with certainty what day Paul was speaking about specifically. If he's speaking about a single day, could have been Monday, could have been Tuesday, could have been Sunday. We don't know. It doesn't say. It says first of the week. Don't know. Or Dr. Bollinger in the Companion Bible points out that this is speaking about a count. And I think for Dr. Bollinger, that this is an amazing truth. He understood. Here's what he says, and this is, in the Companion Bible, study note on Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, quote, "First day of the Sabbath, that is the first day for reckoning the seven Sabbaths to Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. It depended upon the harvest," and he cites Deuteronomy 16:9, "and was always from the morrow after the weekly Sabbath when the wave sheaf was presented." So again, this is Dr. Bollinger from his Companion Bible explaining what this passage is indicating. What we find here is a count. This is the first of the weeks to the count of Pentecost. It would work like this. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the wave sheaf was offered. On that day began the count of Pentecost. You had seven complete Sabbaths. In other words, you started from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sabbath, week one. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sabbath, week two. Seven Sabbaths like this. And then it would have a 50th day, which would put it on Sunday. And this is what we find here, the count of Pentecost. And to understand this, you do need to understand the Old Testament. That's another reason the Old Testament is so important to Yahweh's people. Because passages like we will not understand what we find here unless we understand the Old Testament. Try to talk to somebody in the nominal church today and get them to explain how Pentecost works. I don't think you're going to be very successful. They will probably say, what? Pentecost. They may know Acts chapter 2. Why don't you say Feast of Weeks? They'll be totally lost. Feast of Weeks. Again, Feast of Weeks, because it was counted by weeks. Now, what about the bread here? What about the bread? They were breaking bread. Is this not indicative of worship? Most people would say it would be. Where this word bread is artos in Greek and means bread or a loaf. I can tell you this, there is nothing about this word in the Greek that suggests that this is referring to something religious, a religious gathering. This is nothing more than a common meal. Matter of fact, the Companion Bible points out that this word artos refers to, quote, a common meal. This is no different from you and I getting together on a Sunday or a Monday and having a barbecue and breaking bread, having lunch or having dinner. There is nothing special about this breaking of artos, nothing special at all. It does not denote a religious service of any type. It's simply saying that Paul, during this count of Pentecost, they gathered together as we do. They had a meal together. They spoke about Yahweh's word together. But certainly this is not referring to Sunday worship. Now, a passage that is often used is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. You hear this in many pulpits today. It says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, "Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as he has prospered. That no collections be made when I come, and when I arrive, whomsoever you shall approve, them will I send with letters to carry your bounty unto Jerusalem. So again, many will look to this passage as proof for Sunday worship. They will say, look, you know, Paul's saying, lay up store your religious collection so that when I come on the first day of the week, I can pick this up and take it back to Jerusalem. Whereas Paul advocating again Sunday worship, is this the message we find here? Or we have the same problem we had in Acts chapter 20, and that is that the word day was added. We really don't know what day it was. It says first of the week. Again, could have been Sunday, could have been Monday, could have been Tuesday. We don't know. We don't know what day this is referring to. So again, it's impossible to know that this is Sunday. Now, how do we know that Paul is referring to religious collection here? How do we know that he's referring to tithes and offerings and a religious gathering? How do we know this? Or we don't. And that's the problem. We don't. There's no evidence. There's nothing here to suggest that this was some sort of religious collection. Matter of fact, from all evidence, this is something entirely different. This is something for a very specific purpose, and that is to help some needy brethren, to help those who are in need. Now, why is Paul going to the Corinthian assembly to gather a collection for those in Jerusalem? And why is Paul asking them to store up this collection prior to his arrival? That doesn't make sense to me. You know, after all, if this is your typical pass-the-plate collection, or surely that could have been done when he arrived, right? Why wait? Why encourage them? Why admonish them to store this up prior to his coming? You know, it sounds like from the context that he's in a hurry. Sounds like he's in a hurry, that there's something to do. Something to do. It's urgent. Or what is this? So we find, I believe, the solution in Acts chapter 11, verse 27. Acts chapter 11, verse 27, it says, now in these days there came down prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great famine over all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did. And notice this, sending it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Paul and Barnabas was given this commission to go to these cities and these assemblies to gather supplies for those in Judea because they were in need. And that's what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Has nothing to do with worship. And this explains the urgency with the Apostle Paul. This explains why he's saying, store this up. Have it ready for when I come so that there's no delay. Have it ready. So again, this corresponds to what we find in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 has nothing to do with a day of worship. It has everything to do with helping those in need, being there for those who are without and those who have a genuine need. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. This is a fairly simple passage to explain, but it's important that we review it because it is used often. Paul says here, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a feast day or new moon or a Sabbath day. Now, most interpret this passage as saying that, look, we're now free to live and do as we will. You can't judge me because I'm not obeying the Sabbath. You can't judge me because I'm not keeping the feast days. You can't judge me because I refuse to acknowledge the new moons. You can't judge me because I refuse to go by those old dietary food laws. You can't judge me. This is not what Paul's saying. What Paul is saying is, don't let those outside the assembly judge you on these things. Don't let the world judge you when you keep the Sabbath. Don't let the world judge you when you keep the feast days. Don't let the world judge you when you keep my dietary food laws. Verse 17, he says, only the body of Messiah. In other words, only the body of Messiah is qualified to judge because they're doing them. But this has nothing to do, again, with Paul saying that we're free now to worship as we will. Yahweh defines worship. Yahweh hallows days. Yahweh sanctifies days, not man. We're going to find in just a few minutes which man specifically sanctified Sunday. And it wasn't Paul. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. This is the last passage I want to look at with Sunday worship. John of Patmos, Revelation 1:10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now most will say again here that this passage is referring to Sunday. Well, let me ask y'all, what does the book of Revelation focus on? Is it a day of worship? Well, absolutely not. It's Yahshua's wrath. It's Yahshua's coming. It's Yahweh's judgment upon this earth. And this is what we find in this book. And this is what this Lord's day, or Yahweh's day, signifies. Yahshua's return. Yahshua's coming. This has nothing to do with a day of worship. There's nothing here to indicate that this is referring to Sunday. Nothing. And yet the world, by and large, has accepted this on blind faith. We have no evidence of this at all. But what do we find in Scripture? What does Yahweh say about the day of the Lord, or Yahweh's day? What do we find in the Old Testament? What do we find in the minor prophets? What do we find within Yahweh's word? Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14 speaks about the day of Yahweh. It says, the great day of Yahweh is near. It is near and hastes greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yahweh, the mighty man, cries there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high battlements. So tell me, do you see a day here of worship? Or absolutely not. What we see here is Yahshua's return. What we see here is Yahweh's wrath he will pour out on mankind. He says it will be a day of wrath. Or certainly the Sabbath is not a day of wrath. So it's going to be a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation. You know, we can read in Revelation how the blood of those who defy Yahshua will reach to the bridal's horses. Yahshua's coming back to cleanse this earth of sin. He's coming back to reap the consequence of sin. And in so doing, we find that this day will be a horrible day. A day of trouble and distress that hasn't been seen on this earth. We know that the men will cry and to the rocks and say, you know, fall on us. Hide us from the face of the Lamb. So again, this has absolutely nothing to do with a day of worship. Amos chapter 5, verse 18 is another passage that speaks about the day of Yahweh. It says, woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. Well, that's a clue. Certainly not the Sabbath. Wherefore would you have the day of Yahweh? It is darkness and not light. Now listen to verse 19. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. In other words, there's no place to hide. You can try to run into the house, serpent's going to be there to meet you. You can run from the lion, but the bear is going to meet you. There's nowhere to hide or escape from Almighty Yahweh's wrath. Again, in Revelation, we find that some of the great men, they're going to say, you know, fall on us to the rocks. Hide us from the face and wrath of the Lamb. And we find the same here. There's nowhere to hide when Yahshua returns. So Revelation 1:10, I can assure you that this is not speaking about a day of worship. From all evidence, and there's many more passages we could look at, but from all evidence, this day signifies Yahshua's return and the wrath that will be poured out on mankind when he does return. I'd like to look at a few quotes now, some historical evidence of the Sabbath. Now, I find some of the history here fascinating because we know here that the Sabbath wasn't altered by Yahshua or Paul, but it's fascinating to know when it happened, how it happened, who did it, when. Well, from the Cyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature under Sabbath, It says this, quote, "It must be confessed that there is no law in the New Testament concerning the first day of the week." Now, this source is no axe to grind. And we find here that it's openly admitting that there is no law in the New Testament concerning the Sabbath or the first day of the week, concerning Sunday worship. There's no law. There's no evidence whatsoever that Yahshua or Paul or anyone else changed this day. This same source goes on to say, as soon as Christianity was protected by civil government, the Lord's Day was ordered by law to be kept sacred. All proceedings in courts of law, excepting such that were deemed absolute necessity or of charity, were strictly forbidden, and all secular business, excepting such as was of necessity or mercy, was prohibited. So what do we find here? We find, and we're going to find here in more detail, that Sunday was only accepted because of civil law. Constantine, as we're going to find, he enacted this law, 321, and in so doing, he made it a criminal offense to work on Sunday. And that changed the face of Christianity forever. At that point, they adopted Sunday. Now, some were keeping Sabbath, some were keeping Sunday, both during this time, but it was Constantine who solidified Sunday in the Christian church. Encyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature, again, but under Sunday, says, quote, "As soon as the Christian religion came to be recognized by the state, laws were enacted for the observance of Sunday. The Emperor Constantine made the first law, AD 321, to exempt the day from being judicial, as were the others. By this law and others, he suspended all actions or proceedings of the law on this day." So we find, again, that this was by civil law that the Sabbath was, or the Sunday was solidified as the day of worship for Christianity. Prior to this, and we're going to find evidence as we go through these sources, but that others were keeping the Sabbath. Many were keeping the Sabbath. Some were keeping Sunday as well. But it wasn't solidified again. It wasn't concrete until Constantine enacted it through law, made it a criminal, punishable crime for those who worked on Sunday. Now, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, again, a very good source, doesn't have an axe to grind, says, quote, "According to church history, the seventh-day Sabbath was observed by the early church, and no other day was observed as a Sabbath during the first two or three centuries." Now, that's an amazing quote. Most people do not realize this. Most people are completely oblivious to this historical fact that people, for the first two to three centuries, people worshipped on the Sabbath, not on Sunday. Now, I ask you, you know, if Paul changed the day of worship to Sunday, why do we find the church observing Sabbath for the first two, three centuries of its history? It's amazing. It's amazing there's evidence like this. And again, this is a fairly common source. And yet, I'm sure people most are oblivious to it. But this is Yahweh's word, and we find here the history to support it. Again, from this same source, it says the festival of Sunday, like all other festivals, was only a human ordinance, and it was far from the intentions of the apostles to establish a divine command in this respect, far from them and far from the early apostolic church to transfer the laws of Sabbath to Sunday. So again, from this same source, we find that it's saying that Sunday was only a human invention. Had nothing to do with the New Testament, had nothing to do with Yahshua, had nothing to do with Paul, had nothing to do with the other apostles, had everything to do with Constantine and the church. Now, we're going to find here in just a few minutes why this changed. And everything has a reason, has a purpose. And this is true with the transition between the Sabbath and Sunday. There is a reason why. And again, it had to do with numbers and in money. From the same source, it says, gradually, however, the first day of the week came into prominence as an added day. You notice that it was an added day. But finally, by civil and ecclesiastical authority as a required observance. Now, I want you to notice that. It was not solidified until the civil and ecclesiastical authority. The first legislation on the subject was from the famous Law of Constantine, enacted 321 AD. The acts of various councils during the 4th and 5th centuries established the observance on the first day of the week by ecclesiastical authority, and in the great apostasy which followed, the rival day obtained the ascendancy. During the centuries which followed, however, there were always witnesses for the true Sabbath, although under great persecution, and thus in various lands, the knowledge of the true Sabbath has been preserved. So again, the same information we've read from other sources. We find here that Sunday was not something that the apostles accepted. As we saw, it wasn't something that the church accepted for the first 2-3 centuries of its existence. It says here that it came in gradually, and it was only solidified again by civil law, by the law that Constantine enacted and said, you will rest on Sunday. You will close your store on Sunday. You will honor Sunday. Now, there's a reason why he did this, and we're going to get to that in just a few moments. New Unger's Bible Dictionary under Sunday says this, quote, Sunday is the first day of the week adopted by the first Christians from the Roman calendar because it was dedicated, now listen to this, it was dedicated to the worship of the S-U-N. The Christians reinterpreted the heathen name as implying the Son of Righteousness, quote, S-U-N, of righteousness, with reference to the rising Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Now, this is getting to the root of the issue. The issue was Sunday worship and sun worship. Historically, we know that Constantine was supposedly a sun worshiper, worshiped the sun, and many people believe that it was this influence that forced him to adopt this Sunday civil law. From the same source, this is not until the 4th centuries do we find a statement in Timothy that this Jewish Sabbath with its sanctions and duties was transferred to the first or to the Lord's Day. The observance of the Jewish Sabbath in the churches of the first Christians continued for the first 5 centuries. Notice that, 5 centuries they were keeping the Sabbath. The observance of the Jewish Sabbath in the churches and the Jewish Christians continued for the first 5 centuries. In the East, both days were celebrated with rejoicing. In the West, the Jewish Sabbath was observed as a fast. The reign of Constantine marks a change in the relations of the people to the Lord's Day. The degree of the emperor commanding the observance of Sunday seems to have had little regard for its sanctity as a Christian institution, but the day of the sun, S-U-N, is to be generally regarded with veneration. Later enactments made it plain the duties of civil and ecclesiastical officials respecting the observance of Sunday until it takes its place as an institution to be regarded and regulated by the government. It's an amazing historical fact here. And people are oblivious to this. And it's not hard to find. I think that's the sad part about it. It's not hard to find. The sources I'm using are common sources. Most ministers have them. Most Bible students would have them. These are not hard sources to find. And yet, again, the masses are oblivious to this truth, to the sign of Almighty Yahweh. I'd like to read from one last source here. It says, adoption of Sunday as a Christian Sabbath was gradual. Again, we've already heard that. Sunday, which occurs nowhere in the Bible, we've already heard that, is derived from the Anglo-Saxon Sunnedag, day of the sun, the first day of the week having been dedicated by the pagans. It appears that most of the early Christians observed both Sabbath and the, quote, Lord's Day. This tendency to observe the first day of the week as a day of general cessation from work was further confirmed in when? 321 A.D., when the Roman Emperor Constantine issued the following decree. Now, this was his official decree. Quote, on the venerable day of the S-U-N, find that fascinating, let the magistrates and people residing in cities rest, and let all workshops be closed. In the country, however, persons engaged in agriculture may freely and lawfully continue their pursuits, because it often happens that another day is not so suitable for grain sowing or for vine planting. lest by neglecting the proper moment for such operations, a bounty of heaven should be lost. This edict, which accepted farmers, was a good stroke of policy. Now listen to this. Because the pagan day of the S-U-N and the Christian, quote, Lord's Day, both fell on the first day of the week. And both Christians and pagans were pleased. You see, this really had absolutely nothing to do with doctrine. Had nothing to do with what we can find in Yahweh's word. Had nothing to do with what Yahshua did. Had nothing to do with what Paul did. Had nothing to do with what the other apostles did or said or taught. What we find here is compromise. Compromise, and Brother Bannock's going to speak about this, it leads to sin. And that's what we find here. They compromised Yahweh's word because of the pagans. They wanted to bring these people into the flock. So they compromised Yahweh's word. This is no different from Christmas. This is why they picked December 25th. It's a compromise. It's a compromise. And this is the truth. This is the truth of Yahweh's Sabbath, his sign. You know, so important that we, as Yahweh's people, we prove all these things. And this is today one example of a belief that we need to understand. And we need to prove if somebody comes to us and says, I don't understand this. Can you explain it? Why do you believe that? We need to have an answer. We need to have a ready answer. We as believers, we have an obligation to prove Yahweh's word, to understand what we believe and to be able to defend that belief if need be. As I've said today, and I've said many, many times in the past, don't take my word for it. If you're new to the faith, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this, don't take my word for it. Study this out. Because if you're honest and you're sincere, you're going to come to the same conclusion. The conclusion is Sunday is a counterfeit to Yahweh's sign. The sign that sets us apart as Yahweh's people. There's no other command, again, that is called a sign in Yahweh's word. And it's so important we understand this day, the Sabbath day, because it's special to Almighty Yahweh, and it should be special to us. So may we as Yahweh's people continue to follow in his ways, devote our lives to him, and always pursue his truth and his word. May Yahweh bless you.